Bibles and open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 16. We'll read through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who believe or are being saved, and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Father, for the few moments that we'll take this morning to look into this great passage that your apostle has written for our benefit today even, pray that you'll remove distractions and may the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, do its ministry in our hearts so that we can be that aroma for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. There was absolutely no one on earth who could handle Superman. Nobody. He was from another world. He had supernatural powers. No blade, no bullet, no bomb. Nothing worked against him except for one thing. Kryptonite. Kryptonite was that substance that came, for those of you who need Superman 101, Superman came from Krypton, and kryptonite came from Krypton. It was kind of a green substance that emitted some sort of radiation that made him like any other man. It had no effect on humans, but it made Superman very weak. Christians, the Apostle Paul is telling us that in Christ, we are Superman. There is not a weapon formed against us that can stand. Nothing shall harm you in the name of Christ. Though they throw us in the fire, we shall not burn. Though they throw us in the waters and the deep seas, we shall not drown. We are God's children, and God's children are never out of sight of God or out of the hand of God. Never. But there is something that can weaken a child of God. There is a kryptonite. It is a powerful radiation. It's called unbelief. Matthew's gospel in chapter 13 tells a story about that particular thing. Jesus said, it's interesting, Matthew, when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue. So they were astonished and said, "Woo! Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Are you kidding me? Isn't his mother called Mary? Are these not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Are not all his sisters with us? And when did this man, and where did this man get these things?" And then the scripture says they took offense at him, Jesus. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." There it is, kryptonite. Christians of all kinds, here today and in the past, you'll get nowhere. You'll get nowhere with the Lord, nowhere in your spiritual walk when you let kryptonite, the unbelief, creep into your hearts and into your homes. Nothing can take away your spiritual power like unbelief. I'm reminded of the story of the man in Mark 9 who had a son. And this particular son was under the power and control of a demon, the scripture says. And people today are under similar controls of things in their own life. There are all kinds of demons that people have not allowed the Spirit of God through the Word of God to penetrate because of their unbelief. They have demons of doubt. They have demons of anger, hate, demons of arrogance. They have demons of selfishness. And this boy had a demon in him, a spirit that would not let go. And nothing the disciples could do could get that demon out. Nothing. They tried everything. And Mark shares the story, the end of it, this way. He says, so they brought the boy to him, that being Jesus. And when the spirit saw him, immediately the boy started going into convulsions all over the place. He fell on the ground. He rolled around. He's foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has he been like this? And the father replied, since childhood. It often casts him into the fire, wanting to kill him, and in the water to destroy him. But if you could do anything, have compassion on us, please, and help us. And Jesus said to the father, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Power to deal with the things that are controlling you. What's controlling you today? Come on. You don't have to say it out loud. What's in your heart? What's in your spirit? What are the things that are bringing anxiousness into your life? Things that are starting to take over in an unhealthy manner. There's a long list. I'm not going to go down it. I think you already know. Is there power to overcome that? There is. The psalmist kind of alluded to this in Psalm 100, and I believe it's 121, where he says, I lift up my eyes into the hills. From whence comes my help? He's looking at these mountains, and he's saying, there is no way in the world I can climb that. It's too big. It's too large. I can't do it. He wasn't looking at the mountains saying, oh, how beautiful, and this represents God, and I feel so wonderful. That's not it at all. He's looking at it and saying, how am I going to get this? How's it going to happen? I'm trusting, maybe it doesn't seem to be working. But then he declares, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's making a declaration. Even if he doesn't feel that way, he's declaring truth. Help comes from God. Power comes from God. Paul in this passage today is painting a great picture for us. I think it'll help. I think it's going to help you and me about this power from the Lord. He starts out with this amazing imagery that he's using, a picture. He starts out saying, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in, and you can underline these next two words, triumphal procession. That's going to be significant. And through us spreads the, and then underline the next word, fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. And there it is. What in the world are you talking about? Paul is going now down a very familiar scene in his day, and actually years before he was even around. So when there were battles that took place, the winning army, in those days there was normally a procession back to the home country. The winning general and his armies and all their captives that they took, they take the generals, the leaders, everybody, they tied them up in one long line, and then all the soldiers, oftentimes, if they were around or the towns were nearby, you would have them take the women and the children that weren't necessarily in the battle, but they were just part of the nation that got defeated. And there would be this long procession. So I want you to imagine that right now. We're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and they're making this walk. Now you think, well, how long of a walk is it? It depends on how far away the battle was. Maybe for us today, the battle from, say our army's from Kokomo, and the battle is in Atlanta, Georgia. So we go all the way to Atlanta and we fight. We defeat the enemy. And now we're on our way back. So they're walking all the way back. And they have this triumphal procession into the grand city, the capital. And the one who is in charge and is all dressed up and is being honored is the guy who is the general, the guy that was in charge, whether that be the king or one of his great generals. And he has special colors that he would wear. And as they're going into the city, everyone is all lined up and on both sides, like a big parade's what it was. And they're clapping and they're cheering. And they're, as the enemies go by, all the chants that take place and the mocking and the screaming and the yelling, it is really even more than that, because there's music going on, there's celebrations. We have dancing, fragrances, incense being burned. In fact, one historian said sometimes they burned so much incense that it was smoky; you couldn't even see the parade anymore. We had that happen to us once when we went to a 4th of July and. In Philadelphia, we thought it'd be cool to watch the fireworks. And it was a real hot night that night. And we had all the kids with us. And there was about 500,000 people packed in this little park. And we had to endure 2 hours of Boys to Men and something else, some concert. I don't remember. It was a crazy. We didn't know about that part. We just thought we were there for the fireworks. But 2 hours before the fireworks, they had all these things. And then they finally, because you know, it's like 9:30 at night, your kids should have been in bed a while ago, but there we are. First fireworks went up, boom, 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 it was absolutely fantastic, I couldn't believe it. It's like they shot everything in the sky. But unfortunately, because of the atmosphere, the smoke never went anywhere. It stayed. So for the next 45 minutes, we saw nothing but colored clouds. That's it. What an experience. These processions are going in. They said they burned so much incense that you couldn't even see sometimes. But it was really all part of a worship experience. I want you to understand, they're not worshiping God, by the way. These are pagans. They're worshiping their own gods. But they're coming in, and they're leading all these people that have been captive and defeated, and they're dragging them in there, and they're having the music and the party and the celebration and the incense. And the incense is a sweet smell. It's a really nice smell. And it's all over the city. It's everywhere. And so as we go on here, we have something else that takes place when they get to the end. Okay, this is a little gory. I hope you guys don't get too sick on this, all right? So the leaders get executed. It's all part of the deal. And the other people and soldiers and things, oftentimes they just get enslaved and distributed out. And that is all part of the worship experience and the celebration of defeating the enemy. That's the scene he's picturing. Can we read that again real quick? Because I want you to think about it now. He says, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Paul is giving us a picture of what Christ has done and how we are part of a triumphal procession that walks through this earth proclaiming victory. You see, at the cross, the old devil, he took that, Jesus took that devil, he took the sin, he took the penalty and all the consequences of it, and our great captain, the mighty Lord, our God Savior, he defeated him. And in fact, the scriptures talks about him displaying it. Colossians, listen to these words, Colossians chapter 2. And you and I, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside. How did he do it, Paul? By nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Christ triumphed over sin and the power of sin and the consequences of sin at the cross. He destroyed it. He made a spectacle. They thought they had won, but all they were doing was fulfilling the very will and the role of God, our Savior, who triumphed over sin once for all. Victory is found in Christ. You and I can't muster that kind of power. No matter how much we could try and positive thinking and reading all the positive books you want. The scriptures tell us that it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he's the one that lifts you up. The Lord will do that. So power comes from two things. The first thing is the general himself, the captain, the Savior. He's the one leading this procession. Power comes from him and being identified with him. If you are not part of that triumphal procession, that means you're an enemy of God. So the only way you and I can ever receive the power we need for victory in our life, for salvation and victory over sin and all these things that we struggle with, is through a relationship with the only one who can give you victory, and that's Jesus Christ. That's it. You have to have that personal relationship, not a knowledge. And you can have that by faith, trusting in him alone. For this king, they thought they nailed and destroyed, rose 3 days later from the dead, and they could not kill him. So we have the power comes from him. Do you know Christ? Do you know the captain, the mighty Savior? He offers his salvation. For if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's power. That's power. There's no relationship on earth. There's no job. There's no security. Just ask the people of Ukraine and the surrounding countries. There's no man-made weapon that can give you ultimate security in anything. Only Christ can. The power comes in him. But it's not just that. I love the phrase. There's a second thing. The power comes, first of all, through knowing the captain, Jesus. But the second thing here, power comes from his word. I want you to look at this one more time. We're going to read it again. He leads us in triumphal procession through the Spirit and spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Let's continue. For we, the believers in Christ, are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are, this is important, saved, and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. What are you talking about, Paul? He's talking about this message, this good news, this gospel of God that gives you and I the very power of God in this world. In fact, I will quote from the scriptures that says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power." The power of God. You and I have the power of God through this gospel. Why is it so powerful? Because it takes a man and a woman who are dead in their sins, who have no life of themselves, heading to a Christless eternity, and when faith is placed in that Christ, they are made alive, transformed forever. And now we're the aroma of God. Go back to this incense that's being burned at this very strange scene when the armies are coming in and the smoke's everywhere. You may not be able to see the parade, but you're going to remember the smell. You ever have those things that happen in your life where a smell comes up and all of a sudden you have a memory that goes back like 40 or 50 years? Like, it's powerful, isn't it? We are that aroma. That's what Paul says. The power that we have comes from God, a relationship, but it's found in his word itself. And you and I think sometimes don't hold on and express and live on that very word. We say to ourselves, well, you know what? I just can't do that. Or this won't happen. Or there's no way that this is going to work out. Or this is just a bad deal. Says who? Who says that? You? Did you say that? Did God say that? Well, I don't know how we could ever penetrate, make a change in the lives of people in this community in this day and time. Who says that? Is it you? Is it me? Are we saying that? I thought the Word of God said this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Is that truth or is it a lie? Come on now. Well, let's go back just a little bit. When Jesus starts his ministry, what does he do first? He goes into the wilderness, right? And who shows up? Right? Who shows up? Hey, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I got something for you. What you got for me, devil? He says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Oh, okay. That's what you want me to do, huh? Because I thought the word said this. It is written. You missed it already. The power to face discouragement. The power to face distress. The power to overcome all the things that pour into your mind. Whatever those will be, it's different for different people. That keep you from growing in the grace and the knowledge of God are destroyed when you say, well, the devil doesn't give up. I mean, he didn't give up on Jesus. You think he's going to run away? Oh, they quoted the Bible. I'm running. No, he comes back. He says, all right. Well, he took him to a holy city, set him on his pinnacle, right? And he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Now he quotes the word. The devil's pretty good at knowing what to do. So he says, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands, lest they bear you up, lest strike your foot against the stone. Just a side remark, you guys in the front listening here, you really need to know the word. Because there's a lot of people out there that quote it and leave out a little bit of it. Changes the meaning. So the devil's doing this. And what does he say? Oh, no. That's the word.
Oh, no. He said, it is.
Lord, shall God, you know, to put him to the test. Devil doesn't give up even then. Tries again. You get a pattern here? He's not giving up. Now, in the text, obviously Matthew's not going to have 40,000 volumes of him tempting him. He's just giving you an example that the devil doesn't quit. And the only way to defeat those things that come into your mind that want to destroy and take away your power and cause you not to believe or to doubt, right? The devil just wants you to doubt. The devil wants you and I to live in fear and doubt and worry, anything to kind of pull us away. Well, Lord, I know you did all these things for me for the last 50, 60, 70 years, but today's a little different. That's all he wants. And the only thing you and I could do is rest in our relationship with Christ and say, devil, I can't make reconciliation with my spouse. Is that you saying that? Or is that God? I thought the word said it is written. It is written. I can't forgive this person that hurt me in my past. Is that you saying that? Or is that the Bible? Why we have no power? Because we don't stand on the powerful word. And Paul's simply saying, this aroma, back to 2 Corinthians, this aroma that comes, that we are the aroma, is this gospel message, first of all. It changes lives. It has the ability to bring someone to life. And those who reject it, it's death. Where are you at? You say, well, I'm no Superman. And I would say to you, praise the Lord for that, because you got something a whole lot better. You are a child of God. And the only kryptonite is the kryptonite of unbelief. I don't know what it is what you're going through. There's serious things that happen in our life, and there's serious valleys and processionals that we walk through. And now hang with me. No one's throw me out of the church, all right? I am offering you a view of this text now that I think this Paul is saying. So I'm going to be close to the text, but I'm going to move away visually. The procession of most of these people, they are slaves, enemies to the victors. Paul, in using this imagery, I believe, is also giving a message to us. But he flips the meaning. We are slaves and servants of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are part of a victorious procession. But we need to understand, as a part of the victorious procession, children of God. In fact, Paul calls himself a slave more than he calls himself anything else. You do know that. Yeah. Read the Bible, right? It'll tell you. He says, yes, we are victorious, but let me tell you why. I want to tell you where that procession leads you. That procession takes you places you never thought you'd go. Why? Because God, for some reason, wants victory to be shouted over there. I don't like cancer. Okay, I don't like it either, but that's what happens with sin. And you need to go through this so God can use you to proclaim victory in Jesus. It's not a song, just a song, is it? Oh, well, I don't have cancer. No, no, no. Sometimes God processes you over here. And everything you were counting on, all your friends and all the things you held dear, all of a sudden get knocked out. And you're like, what is wrong? And you go into this terrible depression. And God says, now hold on here now. Trust in me. Believe in me. I haven't let you go. I've got a hold of you. There's something here. Maybe you need to grow up. maybe you need to start trusting in me and not all the people around you. I've got people that can love you like you'd never believe it. But it starts with the right relationship with me. I don't know what your procession is. Some of you say, oh man, I'm struggling with relationships. And God's going to take you right on over to that valley. Here he goes. And he says, all right, now start celebrating. Start jumping up and down with the incense. And it's hard to do that when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, isn't it? But he calls for you to jump up and down and proclaim victory in Jesus. You know, our culture's power crazy anyway, for the wrong things. But all about control, take control of your life, you can do anything you want. Don't believe any of that stuff. If I could do anything I want, I'd be a multi-billionaire by now with Superman powers, okay? That's just not a true message. But I can tell you this truth, that in Jesus Christ, I can do everything he's called me to do. You can't go talk to that friend over there. Yeah, you can. You'd be surprised what God could do through you. I don't know what to say. Guess what? The Bible, it is written, says, I will give you the words to say when you stand before kings and princes. I will tell you what to say. We come up with all the excuses in our king, our general, the Lord Jesus, who's with us in the procession, says, go and tell. There are captives everywhere. And the last thing he wants this army to do, which the Roman army would have done, was stop in the city. Maybe for us today, the victory will come by saying, Lord, we've paused long enough. Get this procession moving. I'm giving you something today that can change your life. You can have unbelievable power for living if you come to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you would make a commitment to know and follow this word. And one more thing, join the procession. I don't know where you're going tomorrow. Some of you going to work. Some of you work from home or wherever. I don't know where everyone's procession is, but I know one thing. God's called you to that. And I would ask you then, remember as you proceed, it is written. God sent us to go and proclaim this good news. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Would you join me in this procession? Let's bow together. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you a funny question, I guess. The first one is not so funny. I would just simply ask you the question, are you in Christ? Are you connected to the power of God himself, the Lord Jesus? If not, I would call upon you to trust in him right now. And the second one's funnier. How are you smelling these days? What's your aroma like? Scriptures tell us that in Christ we have the aroma. It's an aroma of God. It's a sweet smell. It brings life. It doesn't run people away. And believer, if you're here today and you realize that maybe you're not putting off the best incense in your attitude, in your actions, in your heart, maybe a lack of faith even in Jesus himself. You keep it all inside, but it affects the way you smell. And you haven't taken a shower for years because you've just lived in your unbelief. You can walk out of here a sweet-smelling person. Just give it to Jesus now. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters and myself, for all of us carry things that don't smell so good in our lives. May not even have bad intentions. They may be great intentions. And yet, Lord, they move away from just trusting and believing in you, which is very hard. But we got to know that you're in charge. And even though men choose to do wicked things, and we see that happening right now over in the Ukraine, as there's so many that are being affected, even now, dear God, we lift them up. The peace will never come through military might, but only when a person yields his heart to Jesus Christ and follows him. I pray our church will smell good today. And where there's doubt, I take refuge with the man who brought his son and says, Lord, I believe. So he's stating it, but he knows inside what's happening, and he just cries out honestly, help my unbelief, God, help it. And Jesus helped. For he loves to move in faith. Lord, our problem so often is that we're looking to see something happen when faith is moving without seeing. And I pray that today will be a new day for all of us, that though we cannot make sense of everything that happens nor understand, we know that in Christ we're in the victorious procession that's leading to heaven. May it be our business to smell good, proclaiming this good news, this gospel, and taking as many people that are lost with us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's his name we pray. Amen.